about the fact that we have the Chora two parallel sugyos that both deal with the need of Mumchim. We have our sugya in Sanhedrin on the base of the base, Gimamad Aleph, which learns out the din of Mumchim from the world of Elohim. And then we have the sugya in Gittin that learns it out from the pasuk of Eila HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. And we had within the Rishonim three different approaches as to how to deal with these parallel sugyos. Tosfos turned them from parallel into one, right? The first heresy of Tosfos. It's one sugya. Who are the Lifnehem, Lifnei HaElohim? And we said we should just view the forest that has a number of trees, but it's really all one. The two sugyos merge. Tosfos' second teretz is that we're dealing with two areas of jurisprudence. One of them is the being koveya, the din, that's our sugya, being posek. And the sugya in Gittin deals with what issue? Kfir, deals with enforcement. And that these are two different areas, and one can have a requirement from Mumchim in one area, not necessarily in the other area, so we require two different sugya. The Ramban, however, both in his Perush on Chumash and as quoted by the Ran, takes a different approach that we're dealing over here with two different worlds. Our sugya is dealing with the gavra of the dayan, who is kosher ladun and who is pasul ladun. Masha'en Kain, the sugya in Gittin, is dealing with an easter on the Bali din to come before a bezdin of hedyotot. Namely, just as there's an Easter to come before a Bezdin of Goyim, so also there's an Easter to come before a Bezdin of Hedyotot. So these are two different worlds, apples and oranges. That's where we left off last time. If Mida Oraisa, we need Mumchim, we find that in both sugyos we have an exemption for Hoda'os v'Havaos. What is this exemption built on? So our Gemara speaks about Lotin Al Delas Bifnei Lavim. Lotin Al Delas Bifnei Lavim is the motivation. That's why Chazal had a need to be Mekil in the world of Hodos V'Avos. But what was the mechanism? The Torah says you need Mumchim. How can Chazal go against the Torah? What power did Chazal have in the area of Hodos V'Avos? What does the Ran say? The Ran and Arasuk, yes? Hefker Bezdin Hefker. In the world of Mamonos, Chazal have this power of being Mafkir Mamon, and so their Psak Din and Hodos V'Havos is no worse, or it's no different than Hefker. They're being Mafkir, the money of the Lova, and giving it to the Malva, and even though Mida Orais, you need Mumchim, but even Hedyotos have the right of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. That's what the Ran points out in our sugya. Umishum ne'ilas delas hitiru chachamim hadin afilu behediotos the hefker bezdin hafei hefker. Namely, the same way that Chazal can do away with drisha b'chakira, we saw, which is a requirement of the Torah, and yet they said that in Mamanos, because of lotino, they didn't want to push the drisha b'chakira. So basically, they were using their power of the world of Mamonos to Hefker Bezdin Hefker. So that's what they used over here to override the need of Mumchim.
What does that mean, Hefker Bezdin
Hefker? Hefker Bezdin Hefker means that in the world of Mamon, Bezdin can decide to eminent domain. They can decide simply to take away the money of party A and give it to party B. That's
how do you know when to apply it? Like, what kind of apply it?
Chazal shouldn't misuse it. It shouldn't become chas v'shalom, you know, it's arbitrary. But in areas that they felt that this would serve the greater purpose, here the purpose is lotin ol delas b'fnei lavim. We want to make the batei dinim accessible. Mumchim are not accessible. And so to make the batei dinim accessible, they wanted to allow for hedyotos. So they said, since we're dealing in the world of Mamonos, we're the balabatim in the world of Mamonos. And so we use the principle of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. It's learned that from a pasuk in Ezra. In other words, if we can say Hefkidei Talmudis under Hefker Bezdin Hefker, they'll give you the broad framework. However, in the sugya in Gittin, we already have, as Avram pointed out, a mechanism. Namely, what allows the overriding of Mumchim for purposes of Kfiya, according to Tosfos, or according to the Ramban, to override the Isur, to go before Hediotos. There we have a principle called Shlichusayu Ka'avdinon. The question is, what exactly is this mechanism of Shlichusayu Ka'avdinon? Hefker Bezdin Hefker, we find throughout Shas. Afkinu Rabbanu LeKedusha, I mean that, you know, that the Rabbanu can take the money that Reuven gave Leah to be Mekadesher, and they say it's not Reuven, it doesn't belong to him. Can't be Mekadesher. Mevatel the Kedushin. Afkinu Rabbanu LeKedusha, I mean. In other words, that via Hefker Bezdin Hefker, they say that you never gave her your money. We took away the money from you. But what is this principle called Shlichusayu Ka'avdinon? A priori, theoretically, what two options exist in terms of when you have a phrase in the Gemara like Shlichusayu Ka'avdinon? What are two ways of interpreting the phrase, Meir?
One is that sending messengers is basically the equivalent of in doing it as Israel.
Or? In general. In other words, you can take it literally, or you can take it figuratively. Okay, in general, you have a phrase. Does the Chazal mean this literally, Shlichusayu Ka'avdin, and we have over here a din of Shlucho Shodom Kamoso? Or do they mean it in some manner figuratively? Ki'ilu, right? No, it's not really. It's like whenever you have in Rashi the phrase Klomar, Rashi's telling us, don't take this too literally. We're going to put a finagle factor in. We're going to broaden the issue. So over here, I had sent you on the previous page of Ma'amar Komos to a long, long tshuva of the Rivash, for which I exerted only a few lines. But in those few lines, the Rivash repeats a phrase twice. You got to bring it. Yeah. The Rivash speaks about the fact that. The Perek HaMegarish, the Hodam in Perek HaChovel, Perek HaMegarish, the Hodos VaHavos Avdin and Shlichus Sayu, Hahu Lav Shlichus Gomorhu. You know, he says black and white. We're not talking literally. Ela wrote Salomar the Bemilsa the Shlich of Yisbechisaron Kis under certain conditions. Anachnu Nasatz Menu Ki'ilu. Ki'ilu anachnu shlucho seihem. U'ki'ilu bezden ha'gadol shveret Yisrael mamunin al kol ha'Yisrael mimos Moshe Rabbeinu tiknu de bahanu mila yuchu ladun chaf mechutz la'aretz belos micha. Namely, what over here clearly is the approach of the Rivash? Are we dealing with a literal or a figurative? No question. Figurative. Namely, the bottom line is, we need mumchim, but we don't have mumchim. We don't have mumchim. We have a takana. We don't have mumchim. It's not these hediotos who are being done are not mamish shlichim. Where do we find the Rishon who speaks in literal terminology about shlucha, about shlichus? Yeah?
Where does the Rivash get this? Where is this takana? It says this is a takana. Where is this takana from?
I mean, the takana is a historical takana. The Gemara says that Rabbanan were metaken that hediotos can be in place of the mumchim. To answer your question, the easiest way of learning would be according to the Ramban, that the whole issue over here is an isur to go before hediotos because you're pogeya in the kavod of the mumchim, right? That we have that this realm belongs to the mumchim, and you're short circuiting them. You're making an end run around the mumchim. So the mumchim are mochel. They're mochel on their kavod. So it's as though they appointed the hediotos their shlichim. They didn't really appoint them their shlichim. What they said is, we're taking ourselves out of the picture. We're mochel zayin. We're mochel in our kavod, and that removes the iser.
Where do we see that?
What?
Where do we see that they're mochel in the kavod? Where is the Gemara that said the
That's what the Rivash is telling us. That's the phrase of shlichusayu ka'avdina. Ki'ilu anachnu shlichusayim. We're really not their shlichim. The Torah requires mumchim, and we're not mumchim. But the Torah requires mumchim because otherwise it appears as again, in terms of the gavra of the dayan, we have a din of hefker bezdin hefker. Namely, that the bezdin has the right to be posek. We already saw from our sugya they have the right to be posek, but we have a separate isur to go before hediotos that it appears as a slap in the face of the mumchim. So here the Gemara uses the phrase shlichu sayu ka'avdinan. Comes on the Rav Ashi and says, doesn't mean shlichu sayu ka'avdinan. It means that we're allowed to go in front of them. Namely, if the Isur was one of pegiya and kavod, so we know that the rule of pegiya and kavod, you can be mavater, you can be mochel. That's the direction of the Rivoy, that we have over here, a direction of a figurative understanding, and again, within the context of the Ramban, we would interpret it as vitur, as mechila, yes?
It could be, I guess, right around before that part of the Rivash, when he was explaining, it seemed like he was saying that they don't really have the power to don, but they have the power to implement din.
Right.
So is that...
But that, again, that was, in other words, that was within a specific situation that he was dealing with in Spain of his time. Then he moves over, that's why I only wrote this, to the world of Shlichus Sayyid the Gemara. And he says that, since I already told you that the Dayanim have no right to make Shlichim, how could the Gemara say that the Dayanim have a right to make Shlichim? The Gemara mentions Shlichim by Dayanim. He says, don't take that literally. Don't understand that literally. But who does understand that literally, if not the Rav Ashi? Which Rishon does understand that literally? Let me read to you a question and answer of Tosfos. Tosfos in Gittin on Daf Peches Amud Beis was bothered by the problem of nowadays, in the 21st century, Tosfos lived in the 13th century, so nowadays, in the 12th, the 13th century, when Tosfos was living, v'yitomar hechi avdinan shlichus sayu. How in the 12th century can you make shlichus sayu? Ha'achshav ein mumchim be'eretz Yisrael. Who's going to appoint them? Mi yiten lanu rishus. V'yeshlomar de shlichus de kamoy avdinan. We're not dealing with the shlichus of the mashaleach and the shliach being in the same generation. We're dealing with a shlichut that spans generations. That the shlichus was set up in the 5th century, and it applies to the 12th century, to the 21st century, etc. What was Tosis' question, and what was his answer? What changed between the question and the answer? Tosis asked, L'chora, if I want to make someone a shliach, okay, and I appoint him as a shliach, and then I die, does my shlichus still exist? Of course not. Right? I send someone to do anything for me. In other words, to be mekadesh an isha for me, to buy a piece of land for me, and I die. When I die, the whole shlichus is batel. So Tosis asks the rabbanim, the mumchim who lived in the time of the Amorayim, they died. So who is making us a shliach nowadays? How do we have shlichus nowadays? So Tosis, that was his question. Tosis answered, shlichus hayu dekamay avdinan, that we have over here a form of shlichus that supersedes generations. How could you understand what changed between the question of Tosos and the answer of Tosos? In Tosis' question, what was he assuming about the concept of shlichus hayu? And in Tosis' answer, what is he assuming about the concept of shlichus sayu? You, Yonatan.
At the beginning, Tosfos is saying, how can you possibly, like Rabbi said before, for in order to have shlichus, you need the person actually telling it to your face. You're my shliach here and now.
So what was he assuming?
Has to be literal.
Literal. All right. Tosfos in his kashya was assuming that shlichus sayu was literal. Okay. If the Rav Ashi says it's ki'ilu, Tosfos clearly was assuming that it's literal. The question is, what's Tosfos' answer? So here, right, you could go in two directions. You could say that Tosfos,
I think it's metaphor,
moves over to the metaphor, to the figurative. No, shlichus hayu doesn't mean that I'm making you me, right? If I'm making you me, the moment I don't exist, you can't be no longer be me. You can't extend beyond me. But rather, it means that I'm a vater on the kavod of mumchim. And to be mevater on the kavod of mumchim, that's enough that one generation was mevater. And then, in other words, that continues, that mechila continues. The mechila is for generations. We no longer need mumchim. There's no Easter to go in front of Hediotos. That's one way of learning. Namely, the Tosis in the Maskana returns to the Rav Ashi. Or, maybe you could say, take it one step further, is there something that goes beyond death? Is there a concept, maybe it's a literal shlichus, but it is in some way that could override the technical issue. I wouldn't use it, go that far, but we have a concept in halacha also ke'ilu of a corporation, right? In other words, a corporation is made up of a number of individuals, but it's larger than the individuals. Klal Yisrael is made up of individuals, but it's more than the individuals. It's more than, in other words, it's a korban tzibur is more than a korban shutfim. It's the korban of Klal Yisrael. From a conceptual perspective, Klal Yisrael also overrides generations. Namely, that we're dealing over here with Ki'ilu, this corporation of Klal Yisrael that overrides generations. So Yitachin, the Tosas still feels like he felt in the Havamina, that we need Shlichus, but we're dealing with the Shlichus of an entity, of Mumchim, of an entity which goes beyond the individual. Mashu Ke'enze, in other words, that you can have we'd still work within the dinim of shlichus, but since we're not dealing with Reuven or Shimon, we're dealing with the world of mumchim, the world of smuchim, of a certain generation that can go beyond. It's unclear what Tosfos' maskana is, but we do have at least these two. We do have these two approaches. One of them certainly in the Havamin of Tosfos, and one of them in the Rivash. What the maskana of Tosfos is, it could be that Tosfos retracts from his Havamina, or he maintains his Havamina, so he says, Shlichusayu de kamoy avdinan, that we can have a concept of Shlichus that goes beyond generations. Not the Shlichus of a Yachid, but the Shlichus of a Tzibur. Not necessarily the Tzibur of all of Knesset Yisrael, but the Tzibur of Mumchim. It's a direction. What Mainaf Gemina, in other words, when you think about it, whether we're dealing over here with a world of shlichus literally, or a world of shlichus metaphorically or figuratively, the hedyot is currently being done. Right? We had a bezdin for Prisbal. Okay, so Prisbal doesn't require mumchim. It's not a ma'isa bezdin. It's a statement in front of a bezdin. You can have also hedyotos. But let's say that that Prisbal would require mumchim, and Rabbi Ben Narsh and I are sitting there. What does it mean to say shlichusayu literally? Who are we? And what does it mean to say shlichusayu figuratively? Figuratively, we're hedyotos. We were hedyotos. We remain hedyotos. We're not mumchim. Either Torah says you need mumchim. The mumchim were mevater. They say you no longer need mumchim. The Torah stood for their kavod, they're mochel on their kavod. You don't even need mumchim. But if we say shlichusayu is literal, then what is it basically telling us? That we are mumchim, right? That we are the mumchim. The mumchim still exists in us. We were given that power. That which the Rivash says is impossible, Bezdi can't make someone a mumchim. In other words, that could be what really shlichusayu is. Shlichusayu de kamai, that they have the right of installing their mumchiyut into hedyotos, that they are lowering the standard of what it means to be a mumchim. We are the mumchim. My nafkamina, whether we are the mumchim or there's no need for mumchim. What about the ratio of Tosos? How did Tosos begin over there? Umasha anu mekablim geirim. Nowadays, there's a concept of geirus. Af agav de geir tzarach gimel mumchim. Now this is not also clear. Tosfos quotes a Gemara. That's true. The Gemara says that you require three dayanim for Geirus, and that Geirus is learned out, it's called a mishpat. That's why it needs a court. But what does mishpat mean? So that's a machlokes rishonim. Does mishpat mean you need three dayanim ksherim or three mumchim? Tosfos here assumes you need three mumchim. Tosfos, there's a parallel Tosfos in Kedushin. There's a parallel Tosfos in Kedushin on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, where Tosfos brings two deos. The parallel Tosfos in Yevamos also says you need mumchim. It's a machlokes rishonim. But assuming that you need mumchim, it's a day in Tosfos in Kedushin, Tosfos in Yevamos, Tosfos here, you need mumchim. We don't have mumchim. Ger tzarech gimel mumchim, rina bacholis, mishpat kosov buhu. V'omer ri da'avdinon shlichusayu that we apply the principle of Shlichusayu to the world of Geirim, because just as we apply it to Hodos V'Havos, because they're Shlichei, so Geirim is also Shlichei. Namely, it's necessary to apply it. Now you tell me, which concept of Mumchim lends itself more to the world of Geirus? A figurative Mumchim, their Mochel on their Kavod, or they turn us into Mumchim? What?
A literal.
L'chor literal. It's very nice, their Mochel on their Kavod, that removes the Iser, but you need a court. And Lotin Oldelis, Hefker Bezin Hefker, isn't going to help us in the world of Geirus. We can't change a person's status based on Hefker Bezin Hefker. Namely, L'chora, the moment, if you say that you require Mumchim in the world of Geirus, and the reason Geirus works nowadays is because of Shlichusayu, that's what Tosas over here says, then Tosas is interpreting literally. Then he asks, if it's literal, but weren't the Mishalchim, didn't they die already? How can they turn us into Mumchim? They're not around any longer? Then Tosas gives his answer. But in order to maintain a certain, continuity within Tosas, L'chor Shlichusayu de Kamoi, it would make more sense to say within Tosas that Tosas is retaining his original approach, that we're dealing with a literal understanding, and what we're doing is taking the shlichus, that the shlichus of a corporation, the shlichus of an entity which is larger than the units, can even be ledoros, can even be across generations. We will return to this halacha lemaisa, because l'chora, as Yonatan pointed out, the Gemara speaks about shlichusayu as a takana. So what does that mean? That every ger nowadays is a ger drabanan? Midoraisa, he wouldn't be a ger. He's only a ger drabanan. I mean, it doesn't sound right. In other words, that this person is a goy midoraisa and a ger midrabanan. So we will come back to this. But I just want to put the options on the table. We'll see the Nesivos HaMishpat, Rav Yaakov Milisa, in his Perush on Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph HaChoshe Mishpat, where we come to Shlichusayu, he raises the issue of Geirim, and he comes to a very, very powerful understanding of the world of Shlichusayu. But within the Rishonim so far, we have these two approaches. Again, when we see Tosas as a whole, Tosas appears to be taking the literal approach. The Rifash isn't talking about Geirim. We have no idea what he would say about Geirim. Maybe he holds that there's no need for Mumchin in Geirim. But the Rifash clearly takes the more conceptual, the more metaphoric, figurative approach, that it's all a ki'ilu. It's really not a din of shlichus. Okay. Let me just introduce to you, where I'm coming from in terms of the next section. Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, was always very fond of saying that if you have two logical options, then it could be one, it could be the other, or, what is the third option?
Both.
Could be both, exactly. In other words, a yitachain, that we're going to see a possibility of having two tracks of shlichusayu. I'm saying that as an introduction, okay? Just to keep your minds sort of fertile and water your minds. In other words, be open-minded enough to consider maybe elu ve'elu, maybe both the Rivash and Tosos are correct, but we have two levels of shlichusayu. What is the issue we have to talk about? The Gemara in Gittin clearly says that there's no shlichusayu, black and white, by gzelos v'chabalos. There is no shlichusayu. Similarly, the Gemara in Baba Kama, where it gives the criteria of shlichusayu as shliach and chisaron kis, seems to exclude adam shehizik shor, which is like gezel, namely that you do nezek to someone's property. So all the Rishonim were bothered, but don't we have Gemaras left and right that speak about being done gazlanim? And nowadays, ma'isin b'chol yom, we're done gazlanim. A bezdin is done gazlanim. I mean, what's going on over here? The Gemara says that there's no shlichusayu, means you need mumchim. We don't have mumchim. In Babel, there were no mumchim. So how were they done in Babel? All the Gemaras were written in Babel. How were they done in Babel? And how are we done nowadays? This bothered all the Rishonim. So we have Tosfos Glor, right? Tosfos in Gittin. Tosfos in Baba Kama. Tosos in Sanhedrin and Gimel Med Aleph, the last half of Lotin Odelos. What's Tosos' approach to this issue?
It's two.
Yes?
Only together.
So one approach is that Gzelos v'Chabalos is a twin. We're dealing over here with a Siamese twin. right? With it has two heads. That we're dealing with a situation where Reuven knocked out Shimon's tooth, and then Shimon, in response, stole something from Reuven. Right? We had this chain reaction. And that's the case of Gzelos v'chabalos that Gemara is talking about, and that's the case which is Lo Shliach. But a pickpocket or a bank robbery, unfortunately, those are Shliach, those we would be done. Okay? In other words, to limit it to Gzelos v'chabalos. Or, in other words, what other option? In other words, an ukimta. The Tosfos, this is classic when you have a problem, so you give an ukimta. The Gemara's cases are all, in other words, where it said you can't be done, that's a case, that's a unique ukimta. Or the other way around, maybe make an ukimta on those cases that you were done. Right? In other words, those Gemara's are dealing with Bas Min Teretz Yisrael, even though they were in Bavel, but the fellow said, I'm going to take you to court in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why we're dealing with the halacha. Were we to be in Eretz Yisrael, because this person wants to take it to court in Eretz Yisrael, what would be the halacha in those cases? Or another option that Tosfos raises, we're talking about a case where Bezdin says, we can't judge this case. It's a case of Zelos. So what does the victim do? He's sovereign. He grabs it. And now the other fellow comes, this fellow has my property. Oh, that's something that we can deal with. Namely, setting up ukimtot left and right. That's Tosfos' approach. We have to set up ukimtot. Either we're going to set up ukimtot as to why the Gemara says that gzelos, you cannot be done. That's a very unique case. Or no, maybe gzelos can't be done. You can't be done any gzelos. But when you have a case of tfisa, or you're mazmin teretz Yisrael, then we can be done. Tosfos takes those approaches. And then there's also Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos as having a shita, but it doesn't say what a shita was. So when he looks in the Sefer HaYashar of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam didn't write any Sfarim. This was written by his Talmidim. His Talmidim put together his Tshuvos and put together his Kiddushim. So we see he also set up a Nukimta, a different Nukimta that we're dealing, when we say the Gemaras, that we're dealing with Gzela, they were talking basically about Gzelat Karka. Namely, that someone took someone's field, and then the field grew produce, and that produce is, you know, where it's is that which is problematic, and so we say that produce is no chisaron kis. It wasn't there at the time that it was stolen. It was a royashbach. It grew later. Again, the same direction that we're dealing with unusual situations. All the cases that we're dealing with are unusual situations. The Ramban wanted to cut through the Gordian knot and say, no, this cannot be. I mean, we're not talking over here about a Shifcha Charufa, about, you know, or a Ben Soru Moresh, or Ohaya Velo Nivra, and we can begin to make all sorts of theoretical constructs. We're dealing over here with Maisim V'chol Yom. We're done Gzelos. The Ramban had a Bezdin in Toledo. He was done. He was done Gzelos. And they were done Gzelos in Bavel. And so we have a problem is, what do we do with the Gemara? So what does the Ramban say? The Ramban, I sent you to the Ramban. I pointed out we have very, very little of the Ramban. But we have a section of the Ramban on Daf Kaf Gimel. That begins with the Gemara over there on Daf Kaf Gimel. And then, once the Ramban begins, he says, and you want to know about this, and you want to know about this, and you want to know about this. And from that, we have a Ramban, even on our sugya, on Daf Gimel Amid Beis. What did the Ramban point out? Yes, Avram?
That with Hodos Vavos, we never need Mumchen. But when it comes to Gzilos V'Chavalos, when we can't do it, when we can't be in that situation, we're forced to not use mumchen. So it's only in a case when we're forced into it.
Well, maybe make it a little sharper. A little sharper. You're correct, but you know, just to the Ramban begins umashe helu ba'osa shmua. He begins with the question that we have a black and white Gemara by us that gzelos v'chabalos require gimel mumchen. Similarly, the Gemara in Gittin says gzelos v'chabalos require gimel mumchen. Gemara Babakama says gzelos v'chabalos require gimel mumchen. We have a Gemara in Babakama and Baba Basra and v'chule, and nowadays we're done all sorts of issues of gzelos v'chabalos. So And then he comes to Tosfos' answers. If we're going to set them all up, Mishum Azmenusa Deretz Yisrael, Iname Bidetofas, or we're dealing with the Shuma, etc. Very, very, very hard to say that. That's Barisi, but Tosfos was a Dochakim, Ein Behem Mamash, Vachem Besefer Hayashar. And it was the sheet of the Baya Tosfos, Ukimtos, the Ramban rejects. Ve'ani Omer, Bimekom Mumche Nishneis Zo. What do those five words mean? Bimekom, well, four words. Bimekom Mumche Nishneis Zo.
Our Mishnah is
talking. Our Mishnah. Excellent. Our Mishnah that says that Gzelos v'chabalos required a three mumchim was written in Eretz Yisrael. All the Mishnahs were written in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yehuda HaNossi, the editor of the Mishnah, lived in Eretz Yisrael. Our Mishnah was when the Kila of the Jews was in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, that's where you had mumchim. And therefore Gzelos v'chabalos require mumchim. What chiddush do we have in Eretz Yisrael? That even though there were mumchim, if you have an issue of hodos v'halvos, you don't need mumchim, right? Because dinei mamonos b'shlosha umahein gzelos v'chabalos. Only gzelos v'chabalos in Eretz Yisrael require mumchim, even though there were mumchim. Why? Why? Because of lotin odeles bifnei lavim, right? And the Ramban, Lishitaso, so Lotin Odeles tells us that Hefker Bezdin Hefker, the Hedyotos can become the Hedyotos can become the Dayanim. We have a separate Iser of Lifnehem, the Gemara and Gittin, so we have in Eretz Yisrael, Shlichu Sayhu Ka'avdina. We have, right, in Eretz Yisrael, and at this time, we have both Lotin Odeles and Shlichu Sayhu. Ein Tzrichim Mumchim Chal, Ere Hedyotos Kumumchim. Avo Gzelos V'chabolos, Tzrichim Mumchim, V'hedyotos Psulin Bohem. Umihu Anan B'Bavel. The Hedyotos Anan. But we, says the Ramban, we're living in Bavel, Spain. Bavel, it's all the same. We're all Hedyotos. Lo Evsher B'Mumchim. We have no option of Mumchim. So therefore, Avdinan Shlichu Sayhu De Mumchim, V'dayinin B'shlichusa did who? So nowadays, says the Ramban, now we moved over Shlichusayu even to areas of Gzelos v'chabalos because there are no mumchim any longer. And so we're making also in Gzelos v'chabalos. Okay, that is the that is the direction of the Ramban. And he points out that Avo.
Is the Ramban the only one that says something like this?
And the Ram says it in his name. Uh-huh. Right? In other words, Avo Gzelos v'chabalos makom de efshar b'mumchim lo tiknu. But the makom de lo efshar, when you have a place where there is no option of mumchim, call the shliach v'ispech l'saron kis. Lo rohu sheyevatlu dineihem mikol Yisrael shebechutz la'aretz. V'tzivu sheyna'aseh shlichutam v'nidon birshutam. Okay, so the Ramban says that there were two, that there were two forms of, two takonos of shlichusayu, one in Eretz Yisrael, and another one in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, where there are mumchim, we have that option. Then they only made the shlichusayu for hodo'os v'halvos. In Chutz La'aretz, where there are no mumchim, so then, in order that there be courts that will deal with cases that are shliach and yesh b'em chisaron kis, so they made a shlichusayu even for those cases, which includes most cases of gzelos v'chabalos. Now, let me ask you. If you're only making a shlichusayu in terms of hodos v'halvos, namely the mumchim are here, and we're making a shlichusayu, what is that shlichusayu? Remember, this is the Ramban talking. What is the shlichusayu of the Ramban?
Literal.
Slowly, take it step by step. The Ramban says that, remember the Ramban said that we have Lotin Odelas and we have Shlichusai. Lotin Odelas says that the Hedyotos are allowed to judge, but we have an Easter to go before them. So the Hefker Bez and Hefker allows them to judge. And what does the Shlichusai do?
Puts in the crown of the...
It removes the cover, right? That's the context of the Ramban. That was in Eretz Yisrael, where there were mumchim. You could have gone to the mumchim, but then people would stop lending money because it's hard to get to the mumchim. So mumchim said, we're mevater, we're mochel. Go to the hedyotos. However, when we set up already in Chutz La'aretz that we are going to apply Shilhusayu even to Gzelos v'chabalos, what's the language of the Ramban? V'tzivu shenaaseh shlichutam v'nidon birshutam. This already appears to be the more literal. Namely, that when we were dealing with the world of within Eretz Yisrael, so then you could speak of Shlichusayu being figurative. They weren't, in other words, self-kosof. They said, we need mumchim, but we're mevater. You know, self-kosof, we want people to lend money, so mevater on our kavod. How can the non-mumchim judge? Hefker bezdin hefker. But when it comes to chutz la'aretz, there we have to set up an entire system of batei dinim to deal with that which is shliach, yesh bazeh chiseron kis. That has nothing to do with kavod. That has to do with, we are now passing our mantle over to those individuals. Namely, we have over here a different form of shlichusayu. So it could very well be that we have over here within the Ramban, the elu ve'elu. We have, in Eretz Yisrael, you had the shlichusayu of it being mochel on their kavod, even though they were sitting next door. When it comes to the world of Bavel and future generations, there they made the literal. We have Tosis's question, how can it override generations? So we have Tosis's answer of Shlichusayu de Kamai, that when you're dealing with the Shlichus, not of an individual, but of a corporation, of an entity, that can override time. That's a problem. I'm not saying it has to be that way, but that option exists within the language of the Ramban.
But he can still go both ways. He's just an ambiguous, as Tosos says.
What?
But he can both go...
He could go both ways. He could, but he, you know, words, but he, and he does mention that we have over here these two worlds. These two worlds.
According to the literal take of it, then why should it then still be limiting of only certain cases of Xelos?
Because we're only going to make that tremendous jump of Shlichusayu in cases which are necessary to maintain the Jewish world, namely Shchiach v'yesh v'em chisaron kis. We have cases where there's no chisaron kis, like Knasot. We're not going to create, in other words, a mechanism for dealing with Knasot. If we have cases that are not Shchiach, that come up once in a blue moon, we're not going to create a mechanism for that. We want to create a mechanism that the Jewish community should be able to continue, that basically it should not be a case of ishet re'eyu chayim b'ra'o, people aren't going to get away with hurting other individuals, there'll be a check and a balance on the norm. That, you know, it's in a chinami, the abnormal is going to be fall between the cracks. In other words, we're not going to go that far. The Yad Ramah says something similar to the Ramban, but in his own way, he was, I don't know if he was aware of the Ramban, he doesn't quote the Ramban. He also deals with two takanos, but not distinguishing between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, but distinguishing between what and what. Let's just read the language of the Yad Ramah. Baram. Tzarach l'meida, d'hodu kimnan l'hane dine mamanos d'sagibu hu b'hodos v'havos u'mishum ni'ilas delas lo tema hodos v'havos b'lachudu takin rabbonan k'dei shalotin ol delas v'fnei lovin elo kihechi d'takinu hodos v'havos, just as a takana was made in our sugya by hodos v'havos, hachinami takinu b'gzelos v'chabalos d'shchichei. In other words, that the gzelos v'chabalos, we also have a takana. V'chiteima ha-gezel d'shlicha, utam nasnisin gzelos v'chabalos b'shlosh ha-mumchim. Just a minute. How can you say there's a takana on gzelos v'chabalos? The Mishnah, our Mishnah says that we have Zelos HaKabbalos require three mumchen. It implies that there's no takana, there's no shlichusayu. So he answers, shtei takanos havu. There are two takanos. Meikara takinu hodos v'halvos. Ulebasov takinu kol midi d'shriach v'yisbech yisaron kis mipnei tikun ha'olam. He says that even in Eretz Yisrael, there were two takanos. It's not as though you have Eretz Yisrael and you have Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, in other words, Chazal are always testing the water. So at first they felt there was a necessity to make a takana by Hodos v'Havos, Shalotin Odelos. There was no necessity to have a takana by Gzelos v'Chabalos because the Mumchim are there. But then they realized, but the Mumchim aren't enough to deal with all the cases of Gzelos v'Chabalos, even in Eretz Yisrael. And so they added a second layer to the takana. Not only hodos v'halvos, where people are doing favors to one another, but all cases that are shriach, v'yesh behem chisaron kis, also we have such a takana. I bois ema, another option, kula chara takantahi, meikara tikun kol milsav d'shricha v'yesbe chisaron kis. That the takana from the beginning was anything which is shriach v'yesh behem chisaron kis. But when Chazal looked around, what was shliach v'yesh bo chisaron kis? Hodos v'halvos. Because gzelos weren't all that shliach. But then, unfortunately, society became a little wilder, and gzelos began to become shliach. B'sof nami milse shliach v'yesh bo chisaron kis u'tabinon. Ela be'ikor lo havi shliach. At first, gzelos were not shliach, v'basof having gzelos v'chavos became shliach. Namely, according to the Ramban, we're dealing with two takanos in two different venues, in two different areas. We have over here two different locations. We have a takana for Eretz Yisrael, a takana for Chutz La'aretz. According to the Yad Ramah, we're dealing with two era. We're dealing with a change in time. We're dealing with a timeline. And either we're dealing over here with takana A, that Chazal felt were good enough in cases of Hodos Alvos, Lotino Delos Bifnei Lavim, and then they realized they had to make a second takana for anything which is shliach v'yesh bo chisaron kis to include also gezel, even though there were mumchim around. Or you could say, no, they always made the takana about the same framework of shliach and chisaron kis, but the metzias changed. Simply the reality changed. That which was once upon a time rare turned into a, you know, where it's a tidal wave. And so that which was excluded now became included, yes?
So what does the Yad Ramah do with the Lotino Delos Bifnei Lavim?
He, in other words, in his first, I mean, in his second teretz?
Yeah.
So he asks that question. He says, V'chi teimam ad amrinan taima abahodos v'os mishum nilas delas, lema mishum d'shlicha. He asked exactly the question. So why does the Gemara use different language? Lo kasha. V'chi amrinan taima mishum milsa d'shlicha b'saran kis, he says that the first answer I gave is better because it deals with two levels, but you could say maybe we're dealing with one principle, but the Gemara pointed out that from the perspective, in other words, Shkiach v'chisaron kis is from the perspective of Bezdin. Lotino Delos is from the perspective of the Malva. So it's really dealing with the same case, just a question of perspective. But he was bothered by that in terms of the Ibois Ema. And that's why he prefers the first Teretz. And so therefore, you know, it's according to him, according to second Teretz, you understand why Gezel at first is called Eino Shliach. You know, the Gezel, you know, it doesn't come into Takana because it was not Shliach. But then later on, it did come under the takana because we have all the cases in the Gemara. Namely, each teretz has certain things that are better or that are more difficult. Again, within the two takanas, so according to Rubinstein's framework, one could say that one is not only dealing over here with an issue of chronology, but also that the nature of shlichutayu changed. From when they were dealing with a local, with a minor emendation, we allowed for gzelos for hodos v'halvos, and then when it turned into something major to include gzelos v'chabalos, maybe then it moved from simply being a vitur, simply being a mechila under kavod, to being a full-fledged takana of shlichu sayu, of shluchu shonu kamoso. Not that we don't need, not that we don't need mumchim, but rather that we have mumchim. That's an option. There's nothing mukhrach in the language here to say that. I'm just pointing out, the moment we have two takanas, that option opens up. What is fascinating, is that everything that we're saying, we're being bedayik, in the later Rishonim, in the Rivash, in the Balei HaTosfos, in the Ramban, in the Yad Ramah. But if we get later down the line within Maseches Sanhedrin, we find that it's all Beferish and Rashi. Beferish and Rashi. Look in Rashi. Rashi and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The sugya over there is dealing with different levels of smicha. That smicha is, we pointed out, is enough handing over authority to be posek. And there are different realms. One person can be an expert in looking at mumim of a bachor. Another person can be an expert in terms of kiddush hachodesh. A third person can be an expert in terms of choshen mishpat. A fourth person can be an expert in terms of avena ezer. And so we find that there were smichos that were given that were local smichos. You have smicha in this area, etc. So Rashi over there, so the Gemara over there speaks about another person could be a samach lidon dinei knasot. He can have smicha for the world of knasot. So Rashi over there wants to summarize Choshen Mishpat, summarize dinei mamonos, and he says, the Elohim ksiv. The mashma dayane mumchim v'hainu smuchim. That for knasot we need mumchim smuchim, and so a person had to be appointed to be done dinei knasot. And then Rashi continues. That's category number one. Category number one, we have knasot. The Torah says Elohim, you need mumchim smuchim. Ubishar dinei mamonos lo beinan mumchim kedukim na beresh pirkin mishum neilas devas. Okay, that we have another realm, what we'll call hodo'os v'halva'os, that do not require mumchim. V'heicha d'leka nilas delos g'yom dalad shomrim u'gzelos d'ayninan b'bavel af agav d'leka smuchim. And even though there is no nilas delos, d'shlichu sayu ka'avdinan k'mefarish b'hachovel. Avo b'knasa lo avdinan shlichu sayu mishum d'lo shlicha v'les b'chisaron kis. Then we Rashi over here, the breaks up dine mamonos into three areas. One area is where you need mumchim. And nowadays also you need mumchim. There's nothing, that's dine knossos. Then you have an area where you don't need mumchim. Like that's yesh nilas delas. And then you have an area where you need mumchim, but we have shlichus sayu. No, what is Rashi basically saying? Hodos v'halvaos doesn't require shlichus sayu. It's a black and white gemara. How does Rashi distinguish between hodos v'halvaos, where the gemara says that we have lotin odelos and shlichus sayu, and gzelos v'chabolos that Rashi calls shlichus sayu? Kaner'eh, clearly within Rashi, you have two dinim of shlichus sayu. And when Rashi cries out that there are two dinim of shlichus sayu, by hodos v'halvaos, Lotin Odeles tells us Hefker Bezin Hefker, the Dayanim have the right to judge. But you still need Shlichus Sayu because it's a slap in the face to the Dayanim. And so we have a Ki'ilu, we have over here a Mechila, we have a Vitur. In the world of Arba Shomrim and Gzeros V'chabolos, we need Mumchim. This is not a case of Lotin Odeles. But Becholzo, we say that we're done, even though there are no smuchim di shlichusayu ka'avdinan. This is a real shlichusayu. This is the shlichoshadam kamaso. Namely, that we have over here within Rashi that he distinguishes between hodos v'halvos, where he says we don't need mumchim, and the case of zeos v'halvos that we need mumchim, but we have mumchim. In other words, that which we were pointing out, that these options, the a priori options, Rashi says it all. Rashi says that again, that in that you have cases that don't go beina mumchim, hodos va'alvos go beina mumchim mishim ni'ilas delos, and then we have the cases that beina mumchim, right? But we have shlichus sayu ka'avdinan, And then we have cases that are bina mumchim, but there's no shlichus ayu because they're not shliach v'les bechis harunkis. So everything that we said, we find within Rashi.
So why
do
you need shlichus if you're in
hodos
v'avos? If you don't need
the Gemara says, the Gemara in Gittin says that you require shlichus ayu within hodos v'avos. Why? Because even though we may have been matched the dayanim mitzad hefker bezdin and hefker, but to slap in the face to the mumchim, so we're mevater.
The Rashi is like the Ram for the first half.
Yeah, and then he moves over, but arba shomim zelos dayninan bebavel afagav dovekas mumchim shlichusayu kavdin. Name that which we offered as an option within the Ramban that appears to be Rashi black on white. Okay, that's lechora what we have over here. You know, it's that Rashi already anticipated everything that was going to be said afterwards, and makes a beautiful, beautiful summary in three lines. Just he waited till Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis rather than put on Daf Beis Amud Beis, so no one quotes him. But the lechora that's what Rashi over here it would fit in very, very nicely into Rashi over here. I'll just mention as a derech agav because we will talk about it more as well. The Rav when he learned this Rashi was very, very upset with the last line of Rashi. Well, that could be upset with a Rashi. But Rashi points out that knas, there's no shlichusayu. Why is there no shlichusayu by knas? Because it's lo shchiyach, v'les bechisaron kis. Yeah? What if knas were to be shchiyach? V'yesh bo chisaron kis. What if it were, what if we were to have a situation of knas that would be shchiyach and chisaron kis? I'd say all of a sudden, lo aleinu, there were to be rapists galore, and the knas of ones would turn into shliach v'yesh bo chisaron kis. Mashma from Rashi, we would judge it nowadays. We would apply shlichus ayu. That's really no different ekroni than gzelos v'chabalos. Just the metzius is different. Gzelos v'chabalos, according to Rashi, are shliach v'yesh bo chisaron kis. So we apply shlichus ayu. Knasa lo avdin in shlichus ayu mishum d'lo shlicha v'les bo chisaron kis. That's what it appears from Rashi. However, last year we learned in Ksuvus, we saw that knas can be viewed as a totally, totally different world than the world in classic Dine Mamonos. In classic Dine Mamonos, I break a window and then I'm taken to court. And the court says I have to pay $50 for the broken window. I punch someone in the nose, I'm taken to court. Court says I owe him $100, nezek tzar ribu sheves uboshes. And knas means I steal something, and then I'm taken to court, and the court says I have to pay keren and kefil, I have to pay double. What is the role of Bezdin in classic Dine Mamonos, and what is the role of Bezdin in knas? This we learned last year, yeah? Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knas is a mother of din, that's the
right. In a normal case, the act itself, breaking the window, punching the fellow in the nose, in other words, grabbing something out of that person's hand, that is the mechayev. I'm chayev for what I did. Bezdin are those that are taking it to the practical point of collection. Bezdin is involved in saying that act really happened, but the act is what is mechayev, not the bezdin. Bezdin is simply telling us what happened. And they're being posek. Ma she'enken in the world of knas ad ha'elohim yavod dvar shnehem. This is a world of in the world of knas is a world of creating a chiyuv. Bezdin creates the knas. Hamod de knas. Were a person to admit before Bezdin created the chiyuv, he'll preempt Bezdin. Hamod de knas pater. Right? He won't allow Bezdin to enter into the picture, and then there's no knas. And so the fact that we have shlichusayhu on a regular psak of Bezdin, okay, Bezdin has this power of turning halacha from theory into practice, that they can hand on to someone else. But the ability to create yesh me'ayin, the ability to be a magician, pull a rabbit out of a hat, create a knas, in other words, that may not come under the realm of shlichusayhu at all. Maybe the knas could be a totally different world. Again, Rashi clearly disagreed. The fact that which the Rav said, this is not Risk of Torah. This is In other words, we have it in the Gemara. The Gemara is in Makos, and the Peyam and Aleph, in the Sugi of Eidim Zomim, point out that an Eid Zomim has to take someone who currently is totally innocent and turn him in to a guilty party. That's the power of the Eid Zomim. Via their words, right? They turn this innocent person, they frame a person and make him guilty. But had the person really been guilty, but just that we didn't, you know, is we weren't aware of it, and then the Eid Zomim wants to make him guilty, then we say he was already a Bar Ketala. He already was responsible. He was already a Bar Chiyuva. Like, for example, let's say we have a case of Eidim Zomimim who come to say that a person murdered, they frame a person. He murdered someone on Sunday. And then it turns out that really this person did murder someone on the previous Friday. So then the Eidim Zomim are off the hook because this person really was a Bar Ketala when they, in other words, they weren't dealing with an innocent person. Hu Hadin, if they say that someone punched someone in the nose on Sunday and he's high of money, and it turns out he punched someone in the nose on Friday, so then he did not Eidim Zomim. But if they claim someone was high of Kefal on Sunday, even that person had pickpocketed on Friday, they're still Eidim Zomim. Because until there was a Hamada Bedin, there is no chiyuv of knas. Namely, had there been already a hamad b'din the previous Friday, then the zomim would be off the hook, but not otherwise. And what Tosis points out that the Gemara over there, and it's in Makos and Dafet. I'm sorry, I didn't give you a Makom. But the Gemara speaks about nefashos and knasos that the person is not yet a bar ketala. Volvade says osrinyan mamon lo. The Meidin, the Bechad B'Shabbos Gonav, Vavosh Naim V'Amru, the Be'er Shabbos Gonav, Bechad B'Shabbos Yemanu Ha'isim, V'Adayin Mishal Min Mamodah, He Shaita, the Msaade Ganva Bar Chiyuvahu. In terms of the Karen, he was already Chayev. In other words, on the level of the Karen, the act is that which is Mechayev a person, not the Hamad Abedin. Okay, so just be aware that, but Rashi clearly, if Rashi is going to apply Shlich Vosai to the world of Knas, which Shlichusai was Rashi applying to the world of Knas? The literal one, right? That clearly, you know, words that you need Mumchim, right? In other words, and so we'll say, well, they're Mumchim not only for purposes of Bitsua, they're also Mumchim for the purposes of creating Knas. Okay, Adkan, this is what we have in all the Rishonim, except for the Rambam. So if I can ask you to pass these out around. What I'd like to do next time is to finish the Sugya Shlich Vosayu by seeing the Rambam, and you realize that the Rambam, you know, is not like the Ramban that simply is a Chiddush here, but he brings halachos in different contexts, and we're going to see that it's certain things are clear and certain things are not so clear. So I send you to the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Yud. I would suggest that you also look at the continuity, just perhaps to put the Rambam into context. And then the Rambam Perek Hei Halacha Ches. And the Kesef Mishnah over there raises the issue that l'chora, these two Rambams do not hold water, in other words, together. But then also look in Hei Tes, Hei Yud Gimel, Hei Yud Zayin, Hei Yud Chet. In other words, here we're dealing with different situations of Shlich Vosayu. So our question will be, how does the Rambam view Shlich Vosayu in general, and how does he deal with the specific cases that we've spoken about? And then, since we now have the Meiri, once upon a time the Meiri was hidden away in a Vatican library and in a monastery in Parma, in Italy, and we didn't have it, but now we have the Meiri. The Meiri was a Ma'asef. He gathered together the Rishonim. And so he, in three paragraphs, they go one after another. Unfortunately, it's not in Sanhedrin, it's in Baba Kama. But it's the same, you know, we have three places you can talk about Shlich Vosayu, either in Gittin, Baba Kama, or in Sanhedrin. So the Meiri chose to talk about it in Baba Kama. So in those three paragraphs, he summarizes everything that we've said. In other words, he brings in the Balei HaTosfos, he brings in the Ramban, he brings in Gedolei HaMachabrim, the Rambam that we're going to see next time. And then he brings in a shita of the Gaonim that we haven't yet seen. Well, we'll see it in the Rambam, but we haven't seen it yet. And then he brings in someone that he calls the Gaonei HaGaonim, that we have no idea who it is. but Kanaret was someone, but we don't have it, that's all. So we'll see the, you know, all the options that the Meiri raises, and then we'll, you know, we'll see how this made it into Shulchan Aruch. So in Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph, that's the basic Din of Shlichus Sa'ir. The Nesivas Mishpat over there talks about Gerus, as we pointed out. Siman Aleph, Sif Hei, see over there the Machaber. Siman Beis, Sif Aleph, the Machaber and the Ramah. This is sort of like extraterritorial, going beyond Bezdin. So to see the source of the Machaber, it's based on a Gemara in Yevamos, but it's easy to see in the Rambam. Look in the Rambam, Perakaf Dala, just to read. I send you six halachas, you know, just to read through it, just read to have the overview. Then in Siman Gimel, Sif Aleph, we have a Machaber and the Ramah, and there's a Machlokas between the Sma and the Shach as to how to read this, as to how to read the Machaber and the Ramah, according to which Rishon are they going. And then the Nesivos and the Ktzos give their 2 cents about how to, more than 2 cents. I mean, they give their opinions as to how to understand the world of Shlichus Sa'ir, particularly in the Rambam. With that, we'll finish Shlichus Sa'ir, and we can breathe the sense of relief that before the Ebel Zman, at least we've covered one sugya of Shlichus Sa'ir. But if you have time afterwards, what we're going to move to, I don't know if we'll have time on Sunday, but you know, what we're going to move to is, now we're on Gemara. Okay, now that we've seen the world of Shlichus Sa'ir, now we have Tosos on the sugya, on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll go through the Tosos one by one. And the next topic that we'll talk about will be the topic of Lotino Delas Bifnei Lavin, to understand to what does this apply? Because we've been talking about it in the world of Mumchin, but the original Rav Chanina applied to Drisha B'Chakira. It appears that it applies to all Dine Mamonos. Lotino, in other words, and so what does that mean that we're going to exempt all of Dine Mamonos from certain requirements, even Rosh Shliach, just this blanket head there. And so we'll try and understand the world of Lotino Delas Bifnei Lavin, and then we'll continue. What you should remember, and when you're looking at the Rambam, is that we gave one interpretation of Mishnah, right? Everyone agrees that Gzeilos HaChabalos, Nithri Mumchim, and Hados HaVos don't require. We gave the explanation that really Midoraisa everything requires, but Midrabanan we were Mekel in different stages. Lotino Delas, that's what we've been talking about. But there is another Gemara on Daf Gimel Aleph that I asked you to learn, where you have Rav Achav Reid Rav Ika. He's not Doresh Elohim Elohim Elohim. He holds that really one Dayan Mumcha is enough Mida Oraisa, and we only require three for a side reason. One Dayan is enough Mida Oraisa, and then we built up the world of Mumchim in other areas enough Todos V'Halvos on the Doraisa plate. So just be aware that sheet exists. The Rambam is going to bring that in, okay? But you saw it basically. I mean, we'll deal with it inside. What does that mean? But it should not affect the understanding of Shlichus Sa'ir. Just you should realize the Rambam read our Mishnah like the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph, not so much like the Mishnah like the Gemara we learned so far on Beis Amud Beis. Okay, so just in terms of schedule. Now there's a sicha in the Beis Medrash until 1:05 that you're welcome to attend. By one of the Rebbeim Torah Traga on Zom Gedalia, 1:05 is Mincha Gedola. I apologize, I will not be remaining. I have a bris of a grandnephew. So the bris is at 5:30, so that it can afterwards daven Mincha and Maariv and have a Suda. So I'll daven Mincha over there to be sure they have a minyan. And tomorrow, Thursday. So tomorrow, those who are learning Yoredeya will have a Chabur in Yoredeya. That'll be the last Chabur of Yoredeya for this month. Sunday will continue, in Sanhedrin. And Monday, after Mincha, so I would like to speak a little bit about Yom Kippur, and Yom Tov Sheni, and Sukkot. And not until night.